Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, a lot of you apparently have been texting during the break. Chase has been sitting over there giggling to himself. So I don't, Willie and I don't have the text screen in front of us. So you can text us or call us 615-737-1025. What have you been giggling at over there?
So Mike said you should call Kelly Holcomb and ask about Willie taking it over.
Looking for a reference.
I know I can count on my man, Kelly Holcomb, for a reference.
Lee says, does Darren have anger issues? It always seems like he hates Willie.
Really? No. Dude, we've been working together for 17 years.
I know. Has it been? I thought it's been like 20.
No, it's been about 17 years.
And then I don't know what Willie's doing.
It's been. I was going to say, it's been over 20 years, but it's about 17
years. Yeah, that's
true. Actually working together.
There have been some gaps. I forgot about that. We can ask Richard Deitch.
You know, there was also another host that used to get asked the same question. So there's a common thread there, if you notice.
Yeah, well. And Kelly Holcomb has been around through a lot
of
that.
It's all, why is everybody mad at Willie? Why? That he is the common thread. So why do you think that is?
He's getting his piece of paper ready for pick six.
All right, let's bring in Richard Deitch, and let's see if we can all get a group hug. Richard from The Athletic is where you can find his work. Richard, how you doing?
Clearly a lot going on with your show today.
Yeah, we're fighting on air, so it's all good. It's all good. We just talked a lot of stuff through on the air.
On-air therapy.
It was a good therapy session.
Yeah, I mean, as long as that stuff, as you know, is honest, it's not performance art, it's not a work for the audience, that's good. When it really gets bad is when, you know, you're faking fights or you're faking, you know, therapy sessions on the air, then you might as well, you know, then you're basically 15 miles away from Jerry Springer's house. So you might as well just take the whole gambit and head there.
Does that go on in this business?
Slightly. Yeah. What time is it?
Hey. Somebody's doing that somewhere. Yeah. Right?
Richard will appreciate this. Kayfabe is still a thing, so we're good. We're good. It's all real.
Yeah. Kayfabe is such a great word. A lot of people use it now, there's so many great wrestling expressions that can be used in sort of real life situations. It's great lingo, great language.
So where is – we know Tony Romo is going to be rich from what he's doing, life after football, but where is it going to be, in your opinion?
102.5 again.
Oh, okay. Great.
Nice.
Congrats. He's doing 4-7. He's going to be working with Floyd Reed.
Jared.
Yeah, sorry, Darren. I mean, if you're – you know. The short answer is, like, at this moment, I do not know. But if you would like my best informed analysis from having spent a lot of time with that group and at CBS, I think he will stay with CBS for a number of reasons. One, I think ultimately they're going to find the price point that works for Tony Romo, whatever that is. He's going to get a significant raise over what he's making now, which is, I think, around, it's a guess, $3 million, $4 million. It's somewhere in that range, something like that, per year, by the way. And so if you're Romo, CBS provides you with everything that you could possibly want, perhaps with the exception of somebody coming in and offering you more money. If you're at CBS, you have the familiarity with Jim Nance, Tracy Wolfson. Even perhaps more important, you have the familiarity with your producer and director and the production crew, the only crew you've ever worked with, the only behind-the-scenes people you've ever worked with. So when it comes to the lingo, when it comes to just the shorthand, you're already familiar with how a production crew does that. Romo gets to do CBS's best games. I would argue that you know, maybe outside of NBC and perhaps maybe even not, he can't really top his schedule. I guess you could go to Fox in theory and get the, you know, more NFC top games, but CBS's game of the week at 4:25 is always going to be essentially the best AFC game, and in other situations, sometimes one of those crossover games. So you have, in my opinion, the best schedule. You work once a week, only on Sunday. That's an incredible schedule as well. And you're a loyal guy, as Romo generally speaking is, and I think you know that the people who have been at CBS took a chance on you and put you on their top game without any kind of experience. The alternative here is a place like ESPN offers you crazy more money more. I'll just make it up and say like $5 million more. They put you on Monday Night Football, which I guess is a different kind of challenge. But if you're Romo, you know, you're working with new people. Your schedule is not as good. And ESPN, a lot of times, as you guys know, they'll make you do other stuff. It's sort of just hard. You know, you don't just get hired for one property. You get hired to do sports centers, and you get hired to sort of be part of the ESPN machine. So other than money, and I'm not saying money isn't important. Oftentimes it's the most important thing. I don't know why Romo would leave. I think everything he has at CBS he wants. So if I'm CBS management, I just try to get to whatever the number is sort of fair market value, and I think I can keep.
I want to know where you're at on this, what we're talking about, because the Titans, because of Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, and just them getting hot at the right time, they had a lot of times. We used to joke here. The running joke was, what G team, H team, J team, M team are we going to get for the broadcasting crew when the Titans were really bad? It was right. Like a bunch of guys nobody has ever heard of. Well, we got a lot of Jim Nantz and Tony Romo this year, and so that was something new. And one thing I noticed, and I know it's Twitter and just the fans complaining about this, complaining about, oh, he doesn't know that, you said that name wrong, and I get it. Those guys get that in every game that they do from all the fan bases, so it's not just a here thing. Where are you on that? Like, what is the right balance? Because on one hand, I want to say to the fans, like, why do you think that they're going to know your team better than – they're not in your market. They're not around this team every day. They don't talk about this. They come in and they do the game and they leave. Why do you expect them to sound like your local crews or your local sports talk shows? That's not how it works. But on the other hand, there is a little bit of, well, you're getting paid a lot of money. This is your profession. Maybe you should know how to pronounce somebody's name. Or so where are you at on that? What is the right balance, Richard, of what you should expect from the big broadcasting teams that come into your market and call a game?
And that's a good question, by the way. Dick Stockton, welcome to Nashville. Yeah, it's not like that anymore. So here's what I – by the way, and I think you're sort of heading down the right road in terms of what to tell people. I mean, first of all, you know, there's always going to be on people on Twitter who are just going to basically hate broadcasters. They're going to think that, like, Nantz and Romo are against the Titans. I mean, just think about that. Jim Nantz, you know, grew up in Connecticut, now lives on Pebble Beach. Yeah, every day he's going outside saying, how can I screw the Titans? I mean, come on. It just doesn't even logically make sense if you sort of think about that. But a lot of fans in every market think that the broadcasters are against them. In terms of, like, what you're talking about, in terms of, like, mispronunciations or in terms of not knowing something, I think you got to just, you know, I think you have to just sort of be realistic in terms of you want the broadcast to always be professional. You want the production team to never miss a play and to always have, to capture everything you want as a fan. And then you want the broadcasters just to be professional. But sometimes broadcasters are going to make mistakes for a team that they don't see often. And let's say in the NFC's case, the Buck Aikman crew sees the Cowboys a ton, the Eagles a ton, but, you know, they may not see, a lower-level NFC team. And in the Nantz Romo case, until this year, they probably didn't have a ton of Titans games. So sometimes they may mispronounce a name. But the level of, I think, especially the A crews in the NFL, the level of sort of the high level that they perform every week, to be pretty close to perfect over a three-hour live game experience where they don't know what's coming, I think it's pretty impressive. As a general rule, I think when you're at that level, those guys put on a great broadcast. But I understand when you get lower-level people, the broadcast generally isn't as good. There's a reason why they're on the fifth team instead of the first team. And I can understand the fans' frustrations, but everybody, generally speaking, in the business is always trying to do their best. Nobody wants to have a screw-up.
Talking to Richard Deitch. And, Richard, I think I already know what your feelings are on this topic, but it just we got nostalgic because a great writer for the Tennessean for several decades, David Clymer, passed away. He was a retired columnist. And back in the day, he used to come on our show once a week for an hour. Sometimes it would get really emotional and there would be a lot of good topics, spicy discussion. Other times, maybe there wasn't as much going on. But there was a sort of a point in time where there was an intersection between the newspaper columnists and the sports talk show where it was caller-driven. That is really now an era that's gone by. It's really something how different the whole model is. It just got me thinking with the sad news that we got last week.
Yeah, and listen, I read the tributes for David Clymer in the Tennessean. Was a well regarded and well known columnist that extended beyond your city, which seemed to be certainly a credit and a testimony to him. The coming on for an hour is pretty interesting. That's a long period of time for like sort of the lead.
Right. I mean, that's another thing that you don't do as much now as you used to. We used to have guys on for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's interesting. What has really changed actually is in today's universe, somebody like David Clymer might have his own show or co-host his own show for 3 hours in addition to working at the newspaper, and that you would hope the newspaper would get some basically gets free publicity out of their star columnist on the air. Perhaps that drives subscriptions. Obviously, David Clymer's case, if you're on the radio, you're getting extra salary, extra money, and you can expose your work and thoughts to a different medium. I find that here in Toronto, too, the station that I work for, Sportsnet 590, we take far less calls than ever before. I know this station used to take calls. Multiple shows would take calls almost daily, and that has been reduced significantly. There is not one show at the place that I work up here that regularly takes calls. Sometimes they will take calls, but it almost becomes like, hey, we're going to open the phone lines because like this sort of extraordinary thing happened, and you know, we want to give you a chance to talk about that. I think, and this is just sort of me talking off the top of my head, I think because people have so many more outlets to express how they feel as a sports fan, particularly social media has changed the game on this, that the uniqueness of the call to a radio station sort of has gone away in the same way the uniqueness of a letter to an editor in a newspaper has gone away. You just, you know, you can instantly sort of have your own opinion the second you hit click on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. And I think that's what's changed the equation, and I think that extends to sports talk callers.
Richard Deitch here with us from The Athletic, the media circus, and the XFL is going to be kicking off here in just a couple weeks. I know they have the big TV deals with ABC, ESPN, and Fox. They're going into it with some of the, you know, the NFL announcers that we're all used to. I guess the question isn't necessarily is the XFL going to work, so time will tell, but it seems like a lot of resources are being put into this to bring it into people's homes.
Yeah, first of all, I think the XFL is going to overtake the NFL, and eventually the XFL will ask for a couple of the NFL teams to morph in. It's going to be the new dominant power.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, now for legitimacy, if the XFL makes 2 years, I would consider that a massive win. We'll see if that happens. I'm not sure that will be the case. But you make a great point. The XFL does have some things that the I almost forgot. I think it was the AAF, right? The XFL has some things that previous spring leagues do not have. One, they have great broadcasting contracts. Major partners with, you know, the ESPNs and the CBSs. I think, am I right about that? Fox is what? Yeah, Fox. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So they have, you know, real broadcasters, real production crews, real commitment there. That's a big deal. They have an owner, obviously, or a founder in Vince McMahon, who has massively deep pockets than the previous league that came out last year. So I think even if there's some losses early, he can handle that. He also has sort of a, you know, his own promotional machine via the WWE. So, yeah, they're in a better position, I think, broadcast-wise than we've seen almost any of these spring leagues pop out. But one thing I would tell you guys and to your listeners, this is just always something I've sort of learned, even going back to the XFL days. Do not overestimate or do not jump to judgments after the first or second week's viewership numbers. They're going to be big because people sort of are jonesing for a singular football game and they're really curious about the league. What always matters with these kind of leagues is, like, what is that number week 10? How many week 7? How many people are watching them? Because the first week is always going to be off the charts. I think the XFL, if I remember, my memory serves me, might have drawn 13 or 14 million viewers for their first game, and people were basically already writing, you know, this is the next NFL. It doesn't work that way. What matters is, like, week 10, week 11, week 8, what's the momentum like, you know, 2 months in?
Richard, always a pleasure. Thanks for doing this, as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my mom is a shrink. If you guys need some counseling help, just let me know.
Oh, well, okay. That's good to know. We'll put that. We'll file that away. Thanks for doing this.
See you guys.
Richard Deitch, you just heard it first from The Athletic, says the XFL is going to take over the NFL. Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to respectfully disagree on that.
Yeah,
but
he was joking.
I know.
He was
joking. Oh, I mean, look, I'll do like I did with the AAF. I'll watch the first week. And then I'll probably lose interest.
But
like
his
everybody
point
else.
Is spot on, because this happened with the look. It's going to be big at first.
Sure.
It's what do I always say? What's my example? Don't tell me about the new restaurant doing well.
Yeah.
Ask about the new restaurant a year from now. After everybody's gone, cycled through, are they going back? First month, right. every restaurant, something new should always do well. If you're not doing well the first month, then you got huge problems. But a year from now. A year and a half from now, 2 years from now, how you doing? All right, we'll come back. Hour number two of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.